How many felt ministered to in that time of worship? Sometimes it does not matter. Yeah, thank you. Praise God. We were kind of talking about this earlier, and I won't get into everything we were saying, but sometimes, you know, for the worship team, Holy Spirit, not sometimes, I feel like every time we're here, He's ministering to us first. And I just pray that, you know, that ministry carries out throughout this congregation every single time we meet. Because, I mean, he's just fulfilling our need. He's fulfilling all those wants. And sometimes we come in here a little beaten up and shaken, and we come here, and sometimes that time of worship, that time of ministry is all that we needed. And it's just such a blessing. I do want to remind you a couple things, and I'll give you a couple announcements. First of all, we have just announced this, that we are going to have baptisms before it gets too cold, because I don't want to bring a horse trough into this building for right now. So we're going to do outdoor baptisms. We want that to be available to everyone, all ages, who have not made that commitment, that outward confession of what has changed, that confession that has happened on the inside. And please put that up on the screen, because I cannot remember. I think it's the 27th. It's going to be a Sunday, but it's going to be after service. If you just go to that tithe loop or whatever it's called. Yeah, great. The 27th. I was right. Well, look at me go. So right after church, all are going to be welcome. We do want you to sign up, if you could, please. And we will stay here and just leave from here. It'll be really simple. And it'll be at Pastor Scott and Cindy's outdoor pool. Hopefully it'll be, you know, pretty well shocked, or whatever the terminology is for a pool. I don't know. If it's green, it'll still bless you. It'll still wash away the sin. But it's all right. I think it's so important that you make that. I mean, it's so biblical too. Confess with your mouth and be baptized over and over. And so if you haven't made that confession, if you haven't made that commitment, I would encourage you to do it. Step out and just make that commitment. And, you know, I also, it's for our children that, maybe this is getting too personal. I have some strong opinions about baptizing children at a very, very young age when they're not aware, but, you know, I want this to be an experience for them. And so those who are old enough and know the blessing of what they have received in the blood of the Lamb, and that they are dead to sin and alive in Christ, you know, we want that to be open for all ages. That is open. So the sign-up's going to be there, and we will open that up to people outside of this congregation too. I mean, this is not about Wildfire Church. This is about the kingdom of God. This is all that matters. And so that is going to be open to everybody. As well, this upcoming Saturday, our regular family service, which is a third Saturday. Oh, Rachel, woo, woo, praises in the place. Listen, we're going to have an awesome time. And we're going to have a chili cook-off competition. It's going to get real. It's going to go down. And I'm not going to put chocolate in the chili this time. I promise. Man, you guys will not let me live that down. The first time I did it, I got a little heavy-handed, I'll admit. But it's good. Anybody like Cincinnati-style chili? Me and Kelly. Great. All right. We won't enter in the competition again. My wife's in here. Hey, babe. It's good to see you. I won't talk badly about you today, I promise. I'm just kidding. I don't think I do that. Okay, so we won't do chocolate, but we'll do something. But everyone, let's make it fun. Let's make it competitive, and let's not allow Alan to compete, because he likes to win. So it's going to be open to all the families. Chili. We'll have hot dogs. We'll provide the hot dogs, so you can have a really healthy meal of chili and hot dogs, and chips and soda, whatever else is really bad for you. We're also doing costumes, but please, guys, let me emphasize this so strongly. We want those to be very family-friendly. We do not condone, we do not support the use of Halloween costumes in the church. That's just me being very blunt and honest with you. So please, please be careful what we bring our kids in. We want that to be a hospitable environment of the Spirit of God. Okay? So, but we want it to be fun. We want to have fun. And we're kicking fall off. I mean, it's 87 degrees, so it's kind of fall. So we'll kick off with some fun, and we're going to have other stuff. And Rachel, I don't really remember everything that we're doing, but we're doing a lot of stuff. We're doing a lot of games. And the family services are always fun because we always put the parents, man, I'm going to go long today. I'm sorry. God help me. But we like to put the parents and the kids against each other. It makes it a lot of fun. So, yeah. And the parents are like, it's on. I'm tired of them. They drove me crazy this week. So it's going to be good. So come out to that. That's 6 o'clock. Okay? We're not eating before. We'll probably keep it kind of short. So we'll do all the chili and all that stuff afterwards. So we got baptisms, family service. One other thing I want to remind you of. If you have an Android or an Apple phone and you like podcasts, the church, we post all sermons every week. Sometimes it's a little bit later in the week, but we put our sermons on that podcast stream. So all you have to do is search Wildfire Church, okay? And if there's ever a time, sometimes a little long-winded or very detail-oriented, whatever it is, or you just want to go back to that word and say, I forgot what was said there, but it ministered to me at that one point, whatever it was, go back to those and feed yourself on the word throughout the week. And we're going to try to do more than just sermons. We had a few short episodes on there, but you can even do it right now. You can just go look it up, find the podcast app, and subscribe. It'd be great. You'll get notifications when they post. And eventually, we really want to have the church ministering through their sharing testimonies, sharing words through there. And it's going to be a great medium to be fed throughout the week because it's really hard to come back and meet, you know, throughout the week, but it's easy when you're on your car ride to pull up the podcast app and listen to the word. So it's going to be great. I just want to briefly, you know, we've been speaking about the Holy Spirit these past few weeks. Praise God. I love this topic, but I was so afraid of it. I was so afraid of it because it's so hard to grasp the full idea. I mean, I could never truly give you a full description. But I pray that it still ministers to you, that you have an understanding. But beyond the understanding, I want us to put this into practice in reality. We said, you know, we all have the word. We all can be hearers, but it's a matter of being a doer of the word. And so we started this series talking about our need for the Holy Spirit. I think I've said it three different ways. I'm going to try one more time. Parakletos. Is that close? That's good. They know Greek pretty well, him and Felicia. Seminary trained and all. Parakletos. I'm going to go with that. I think that's, huh? That's perfect. That's, oh, look at me go. Come on, give me a hand. Wait, that's Parakletos. Okay, when we talked about that, that term in Greek was used, that is the term used for the Holy Spirit as our helper, our comforter, our advocate, was used in relation to the court of law. So it's really, it helps bring it home to us that when we're in trouble, when we need a helper, that we can go to the Holy Spirit. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we have an advocate. Praise God. So last week, we talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit, that there's this need to seek the Holy Spirit every day, continually. That you don't just get baptized with the Holy Spirit and you're good, that oftentimes in life, whatever it is, life hits you and it's come spilling out of you. And slowly, but surely, sometimes we just lose life. And then this, in the Holy Spirit, we lose this connectedness. And so it needs to be our priority to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And today I want to talk about walking in that abundance. Okay? And I want to continue to stress this, guys, that Sunday worship, Sunday coming in together is not enough. It's not enough for your walk. If you want to walk in the power and the authority of God, you need to walk every day, not just on Sunday, because you're going to get so emptied by the time you get here. Can you attest to that? How many have felt so empty by the time you get here to church? You're like, oh, just fill me up, God, because I am on nothing right now. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's actually our mandate to walk in the Spirit, because if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the flesh. You're full of it, or you're full of him. That is what we said last week. You're full of it, or you're full of him. So be full of him today. But the challenge I have today, guys, is even after hearing that word last week, how did you challenge yourself to walk more in the Spirit, to seek the Spirit, to seek him in everything that you do? How did you challenge yourself? Think about that for a second. Because I think a lot of us would come in here and say, I still lost track. I still lost sight. And that's what we need to change. We need to fix that, guys. I'm not passing condemnation. I'm not doing that at all, okay? I'm trying to emphasize and train us. We all need to be trained and be fed when we come here, but we have to continually eat. You can't just eat once a week. Man, I can't even get away with like 3 hours without eating. You need to be fed throughout the week. So did you spend time in worship and prayer, seeking a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit in your life? Because God desires a deeper, more fulfilling relationship with all of us. And it's hard to desire God when you're desiring walking in the flesh, when you're seeking temporary comforts. So if you're looking for comfort today, if you're looking for guidance, if you're looking for peace, if you're looking for joy, seek the Holy Spirit. And all these things will become the fruit of your life. If you plant that seed of surrender and earnestly seek Him, you will receive that harvest and the manifest power of the Holy Spirit. And that manifestation, that expression of the Holy Spirit is different in all of us, especially concerning our spiritual giftings. I'm here to tell you, we all have a purpose today under the will of God. We all have a purpose. You're not just here to make it. Amen? You're not just here to make it. Not just here to survive today. And being filled with the Holy Spirit empowers you for a kingdom-purposed life. Being filled empowers you to walk into your own purpose and to walk in that purpose that God, that will that He has over your life. See, I think today many of us sense a call to action. But oftentimes we don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. We sense there's something that I need to do. Maybe you're feeling like you're lacking the tools you need to fulfill that burning in your heart. I could tell you personally that before I stepped into this position here, pastoring, that throughout my career, I never felt peace about what I was doing. I never felt peace. Wherever I was working, I might have enjoyed the work, but something about it, I could never fit in. I could never fit in. And I knew that God had another purpose for me. In fact, it was spoken over my life many times by multiple pastors, prophesied over my life, didn't know me from Adam, would speak that word over me. Yet, even knowing the word, knowing that in deep down inside this call over my life, I still got stuck on my own capability. And I didn't see how it could work out. And honestly, there were times where I just felt like I didn't even want it to. Because I wasn't walking in the Spirit and I wasn't walking under that empowerment. And I can tell you without the Holy Spirit's help today, I would be absolutely useless. I would be absolutely useless. But once I decided to stop doubting myself and start trusting in the Lord's ability to use me beyond what I am capable for, God began a work in me that only He could do. And the Holy Spirit would begin to breathe ideas into me and bring me back to Scripture that I had long forgotten, that I had long not committed to myself. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. He works in so many ways as your helper. So you may sit here doubting every bit of your capability today. But praise God, He doesn't always call the most qualified, fitting people. God so often calls unqualified, and He qualifies them through His grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at Moses for a moment. I relate a lot to Moses in one regard. God anointed him to proclaim the name of the Lord before Pharaoh and to usher the Israelites out of Egypt. But Moses says, I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of tongue. I'm slow of speech. I feel like that personally. And so Moses says, what about Aaron? What about Aaron? And the Lord says, I love this scripture. He says, who has made man's mouth? Have not I? I will be your mouth. I will teach you what to say. That's good, right? That's a good scripture. That's a good word. You don't have to look far to find it. And I find so many examples of the Bible that feel so relatable to me. I guess that's why God gave us this word, huh? I guess that's why he gave us this word, so maybe we could relate to it. I think many of us are walking around like Jacob a lot. You often find yourself pretending to be someone you're not because you're embarrassed about who you are. And you go on thinking that your weaknesses are the problem, and you carry on, you know this term, faking it until you make it. Okay, Jacob was the younger. He wasn't going to receive the same blessing. And you go on in your weaknesses. You think that they're the problem, and you carry on. And you say, you know, the thing is, God can't bless who I'm not. He wants to bless me. All of the shortfalls and my ups and downs and my pros and cons. And the more you analyze the story of Jacob, the more you see God as the qualifier. Jacob was the example of confusion and complications, okay, that those weaknesses of his produced. But when Jacob decided to embrace God rather than his insufficiencies, God took over. He overruled Jacob's limitations and trumped his disqualifications. So you may have lived a life of only focusing on your own insufficiencies today. But God seeks to do a new thing in you today. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will receive the qualification and the training that you need for effective work for the kingdom. Do you believe that today? See, a lot of companies have great training programs. But nothing can prepare you like the power and anointing of God over your life. Amen to that. Just remember, folks, that God does not only use champions and winners. He always uses the dropouts and failures and uneducated in his kingdom. So you may sit here unaware of your gifting or your calling, but you still feel that tug I spoke about earlier. You still feel a tug. I don't know what it is. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I just know I can't sit here and do nothing. I can't sit here and sleep on this. I have to do something because there are people going to hell. I've got family who are lost. I've got a workplace that needs to hear about Jesus. So I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do throughout my life. I just know I can't sit here and do nothing. Amen. That feeling, folks, is the Holy Spirit's tug. He's tugging on you. He's pulling you. He's saying, come on, it's time to get to work. Your ministry is all around you. You don't have to sit at a pulpit to be a minister of the gospel. Some of the most effective work for the kingdom is done in your workplace, in your families, in your houses. We need to be ready. And the only way to be ready is by walking in the Spirit. Being filled so that we can operate under the Spirit's empowerment. And since we are walking in the Spirit, right, we need to be good stewards of the gifts that we receive. Many of us greatly desire to be used by God. And a lot of us just jump in with a willing spirit. And I think that's great a lot of times. Being obedient to being the hands and feet of Jesus is all of our mandate. But when we try to give out of what we do not possess, many times we bring confusion. And we can tear down them rather than build up. You cannot impart what you do not possess. You cannot give something if it's not something you have to give in the first place. So if I do not have the gift of prophecy, but I speak a word and say that is a word from the Lord, I can bring deception. I can bring confusion. One of my personal faults is I believe I can do almost anything, or at least I need to do everything. No, David, you're kidding. You're good. I have this need to be needed. Like I just want to help in every area, and I'm okay doing whatever is necessary. But I cannot impart what I don't have. I cannot impart what I do not possess. So if I overstep beyond what God has gifted me with, I'm not imparting. Okay? So I'm going to show you an example. Let's go to the example, guys.
We're going to come in on the chorus, guys. I'm going to count us off. 4, 3, 2, and holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. You okay there, man?
You feeling all right, man?
You okay?
I'm good.
Are you sure?
Yeah, man, I'm just happy to be on stage.
Yeah, I see that. Weren't you scheduled in the sound booth today, though?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm up here. No. I'll check. You keep going. Hey, you keep going. I'll check while I'm back here.
Yeah, look at your phone. I think it's going to say sound booth. All right, we're going to keep going, though. All right? You guys okay? All right, here we go. All right, so 4, 3, 2, sound booth, please. What's he doing?
Oh, poor Adam. All right, good job, guys. All right, what a wonderful way to illustrate what I'm trying to say. If we put a worship team together of people not gifted in that area, it might sound like a lot of noise. But in reality, it will create distraction. Right? It will create distraction. We have people who are operating out of something they're not gifted for, and we're trying to create an atmosphere of praise, and rather we're creating an atmosphere of, well, I don't even know what that is. Loud noises. But, you know, think about this, and there's so many ways we can think about this in the spiritual giftings, and there's a lot of them. And I'm not going to have enough time to go over this and all of its complexity, but someone comes to you for counsel, but you do not possess the gift of wisdom, you can lead them down the wrong path. And that's what I said to me about prophecy. If I prophesy in the name of the Lord and that is not a gifting of mine, I can bring deception. There's a lot of areas where if we're not operating in our giftings, we are bringing confusion and deception rather than imparting life. So we need to evaluate, folks. This is where it gets personal. We need to evaluate whether it's something that we want or if it's an actual gift of God. And believe me, I'm actually not picking on anybody here. Praise God. I'm not picking on anybody because if I was thinking about somebody here, I would have already told you because I'm pretty blunt. So, see, you may not carry certain gifts, guys, but someone in this church does. That's why I believe God has drawn an actual abundance of gifted musicians and an abundance of people who are called to lead in children's ministry, because I think God has called this place to lead and focus on those areas, be a house of worship. He's not going to give us that vision and that focus to be a house of worship if he doesn't bring in worshipers. Right? He has called this place to minister, and it's not just exclusively in those areas. But God has tasked us with this and being a house of worship and healing and effective training in those areas. So I think it's crucial to have a church of people who feel empowered to operate in their giftings. A church in which the body is operating out of their gifting glorifies God. And it creates an atmosphere of unity in the Spirit. In Acts chapter 6, came across this just in study, and it just kind of jumped out to me. We're not going to read out of it, actually. I apologize, so you don't have to turn there. We see this example of seeing a need. These Hellenist widows were being neglected, and the apostles, rather than allowing another part of their gift and their mission to suffer, they sought to empower others in their gifting to take that responsibility. So they had chosen 7 to serve and meet that particular need. And scripture says that the word of God then spread and the number of disciples multiplied. See, if all disciples had left the preaching of the word, had left the gifting that God had called them to address this need, their purpose and their gifts would have been stunted. So when we try to step outside of our spiritual gifting, we won't be able to reach effectively. When the body is operating fluidly, the glory of God spreads. Our true gifts, guys, our true gifts are given to us to be given. Not to be hoarded, not to be locked up out of fear or laziness. And so we need to be good stewards of what God has given us. So if you would please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. We don't have time to get too far into the fivefold ministry, so there's certain parts I want to get into. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Take special note of those things. For the equipping of the saints, he gave gifts. And these are not everything that we're talking about, but he gave these things for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the ministry, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying members working together in unity, just like our own bodies. If one part is failing, if one part is not doing its job, it affects all parts. And I like in verse 14, need to open it back up, sorry. Verse 14, we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. So what I take from that is if we're not operating in unity, not operating in our giftings, we're operating like children. And there's confusion, and there's craziness. By the way, someone might need to tell them, I apologize, but they're going to have a lot of extra work to do today because we're going a little long. I apologize. But in this diversity of spiritual giftings, there is unity, okay? When operating properly, that edifies the body of Christ. And when there is unity, everyone is strengthened and not misled. It's going back to that what I said earlier. You cannot impart what you do not possess. But if you do possess it, you need to impart it. And because there is a diversity of gifts, your gifts won't look like my gifts, right? See, we may both have the gift of administration, but our work or our ministry won't even look the same. If you see someone who is gifted and you look at their gift and you say, wow, mine doesn't look the same as that. They're so effective. They're so good at what they do. I don't feel like that's me. So I guess I just can't be as effective or minister to people like they can. We are all given diversity and differences of gifts. See, sometimes I wish I could just preach like some of the guys I see on TV. I wish I could just jump in and just right off the cuff, just go at it. But you know, that doesn't mean that God can't use me exactly as I am, exactly as he gifted me. He gave me differences for the edification of this body. Right here in Apopka. And wherever God calls us to. God uses us to carry out his purpose across the earth. And let me just tell you something. If you're looking at your giftings, you're like, I don't feel qualified, or I don't feel like I fit in, or I don't feel like I could do enough. Let me just say something. I like thinking this way. There's what, 329 million Americans or whatever the number is. There are not enough churches in America that could hold every single citizen of America. So there is a lot of work to be done, and there is a lot of need for every single one of us here today. So sure, we might not have the same looking gifts, or they might not look the same in someone else. That's good. We need differences. We need diversity of gifts. Because if everyone operated in the same giftings, if everyone had the same personalities, we're all just puppets on a string, right? God gave us these differences, like he gave us differences of personalities and appearance. He gave us diversity of gifts. And so there's, I don't know how many people are here. I don't know, 40, 50, whatever it is. If every single person in this room right now operated in their giftings, how much would the glory of God be revealed to us? How much more effective would this church be in reaching the lost? I believe that because the full body with its many members are operating to their full potential. So if my gift is to be given, how do I give it? Seek the Lord. Delight yourself in his grace. Wake up and say, thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercies are new every day. Thank you for the grace in which you have given me. Lord, I want to be used by you. I want to be used to help strengthen my brother today. Help me build up someone's faith. Show me how to minister to someone. If you have a gift of working of miracles, praise God. That is needed today. Show me, Lord. I want to be used to help reach the lost. I want to be used to see the sick healed. I want to be used to prophesy a word over my brother. Don't sit there with your gifts and let them sit and become idle and dormant. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. I'm going to read out of it quickly. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. But here in verse 12, look. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Paul is saying, I want to help impart you with a spiritual gift, so that way you may help impart something to me. There is a mutual impartation going on. I need your gift. You need mine. Let me just provide a brief caution for a moment. Don't take operating in your gifts as an excuse that you don't need to serve. And hear me out just for a moment. I believe when we're talking about operating our giftings, it's natural that a little bit of pride and sometimes selfishness can kind of sneak in. So the caution is this: don't use calling to avoid serving. Don't use your giftings or your calling as a reason to not serve in the lesser desired areas of ministry, like cleaning or children's ministry. I'm sorry, Rachel, I'm not picking on you, I promise. See, we're all serving for God's glory. And you can use your gifts in many areas of service to the Lord, not even just at this church. Do you have gifts of helps in administrations? That's good. You can literally use them in any ministry of the church. You can. We need a lot of help. You have gifts of faith and wisdom. Let me tell you something. If you have wisdom, kids and teenagers need that too. Not just adults. So we have spiritual gifts and we have spiritual responsibilities. Some have a supernatural gift and helps, but we are all called to serve one another in love. You may have supernatural, extraordinary faith, but all are called to walk by faith. All are called to spiritual responsibilities such as teaching the truth, being merciful, living wisely. So let's be mindful that the Son of God perform duties out of service to others. That's our example. It's God's will for us to operate in our gifts and spiritual responsibilities. And he gives us this diversity and differences so that maybe unity in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is where so much knowledge on the gifts and unity of the Spirit come from the Apostle Paul. In this letter to the Corinthian church, he says in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Highlight that part for a second. As he wills. The word is clear here. There are diversities and of activities and gifts, but it's the same God who works in all and brings unity to the body. But when you take a special note as he wills, God will never set you on a task that he cannot empower you to do. If he wills for you to do it, he's going to see you through it. So we depend on his will that we will be imparted with these gifts. But it's God who enables these things, prophecy and healing. He enables all of it. So we need to be a good steward of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we need to remember that we're all just sheep. That's going back to that word a few weeks ago. I loved it. We're all still just sheep that the shepherd uses to graze the field. He uses for the fleece. He's using us, but he's helping us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So at all times, we need to remain this humble, contrite spirit in all things. God doesn't give us good things because we are good. He gives us these things because he is good. And through the power of grace, God says, you're not good enough, but I give you good things anyways because I love you. And he gives healing to your body, strength in your weakness, peace in the middle of your anxiety, and he gives good gifts to his children. And he gives good gifts so that way he may be glorified and exalted, and that way we may better build each other up. So don't ever forget, it's the will of God, folks. It's the will of God in our lives that sees this through. So don't ever say, like, look what I've done. No, let's say, look what he has done, what he has used me for. I'm just a vessel. I'm just someone he uses to carry out his purpose and his will. Pride is a dangerous thought that the enemy plants into our minds. Because if Satan can make you think you did something, it takes away the glory from the only one who deserves it. That's why I harp on this, as he wills, as God wills. It says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I believe God works powerfully in you and me, and through his Holy Spirit, he anoints us with gifts that we could never possess in our own power. Paul was incredibly anointed. The Bible says that God worked unusual miracles through him, that even his handkerchief or the aprons were used, and someone would touch that, and disease would fall off. I've met a lot of anointed people in my life, and you could just stand next to them and feel that anointing. You could sense that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so that's what I mean by walking in the abundance, being so filled that we are just walking in our giftings, walking in the empowerments that is given to us as he wills. That anointing is available to all of us when we seek the Holy Spirit. We need to be good stewards. You can go ahead and stand. Good stewards of our giftings. It's never our own exaltation, but God's exaltation. God loves to use the least of these to show just how good he is. He uses common stock people like you and me. He used a tax collector. He used a shepherd. He used a fisherman. He can use anyone for his glory. So don't allow the lie of the enemy to tell you that you're of limited worth, limited capability. God said, who made man's mouth? Who gives you breath every day? Who made you in his own image? Can God not also take your weaknesses and make you a champion for his glory today? Amen. Don't ever buy your worth from the lie of the enemy. Put your faith, get your worth from the promises of God. Take your worth from what he speaks over your life and not what someone else has spoken over your life. What I want you to understand today is that Satan has no impact. He has no hold over your purpose, over your capabilities, over your own impact. He may distract you. He may confuse you. He will lie to you and say, you're not qualified. Look at the life that you led. How could God use you? I don't speak as if that's something that I just read. I've felt that. I felt that attack. But I'm here to tell you today that the enemy cannot hold down what is teeming with abundance. And so when you're walking in the abundance of the Holy Spirit, you have all the power, all the authority, and all the empowerment you will ever need. Praise God. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. So when you operate under the anointing and the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe miracles will begin to spring forth. Miracles in your mind, miracles in your body. All across this room, you will see the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit. And rivers of living water will begin to spring forth. And he'll pour out his Spirit, and there will be an abundance of the presence of God in this church. When we walk in that empowerment, walk in the abundance of the Holy Spirit. And when you're walking in that abundance, your purpose cannot be stopped. Amen. And through the blood of the Lamb, that when he ascended to his throne, he gave us the Holy Spirit so that the power of God would not cease but increase. He says, I give you the Holy Spirit to your advantage. He would increase for generations. And that increase is through you and me, through common folk, through the lesser beings, if that's what's been spoken over you. But I'm here to tell you, that's not what the word of God speaks over you. Amen? Let the redeemed say so. John 14:12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And the greater works than these, he will do because I go to my Father. Greater things happen when the people of God are filled with an abundance of the Holy Spirit. You have that same power and you have that same authority thanks to the Lamb of God, thanks to the Son. We have a lot of sleepers. There are gifts that are lying dormant in every person here, I believe. I believe there are gifts lying dormant in every believer. So don't sleep on what God has in store for you. Walk in the abundance of the Holy Spirit. Walking in the abundance of the Holy Spirit puts you on a fast track to a kingdom certification. He's got the best training program there is on heaven and earth. How many desire God's best today? That's me. Do you desire the greater things Jesus promised? The same power that conquered the grave lives in you and me. There's more in store for us. Do you desire that today? Desire being filled and walking in the abundance of the Holy Spirit, for he satisfies the longing soul and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. Oh, how he wants to fill us with his goodness today. If you've been asleep, he will quicken your mortal bodies. He will put your feet and he will quicken you once you make that decision. Once you say, I'm ready, God. I'm ready. Let me walk in your abundance right now and let me operate in the giftings that you have put in me. And he will burn out the dead growth, the years of dormancy. That is a vision that God has put over this church. Wildfire. When wildfire spreads, the fire finds things that are dead. The fire finds things that have dormant and need to be brought back to life. I pray that God does that into you today, right now, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you felt that tug in your life, you felt that tug over your life, say years after sitting on the bench, years of just waiting on God, God wants to empower you today. You waiting on God? Let me tell you something. Those who wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and you shall walk and not be faint. Let me tell you something. We went to Disney yesterday. We went to Disney yesterday, and we probably walked 4 or 5 miles. My legs were really tired after just that little bit, which is not a good thing. I probably shouldn't be telling you that. I was really tired. But let me tell you something. When you're walking in the empowerment of the Spirit, you do not grow tired. You do not grow weary. Hallelujah. He puts a spring in your step. Praise God. He wants to empower you today. We're going to take this opportunity of ministry. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you right now. If you would like prayer today, if you would like someone to just pray over you today, you are invited to this altar. If you want to seek the Lord from where you are, but I ask you today, don't let this time go by. I know we're gone a little late today, but that's all right. God's doing a thing today. He's doing a new thing in you today. So let's glorify him in our worship. And let's seek the Lord. Lord, how can I be used by you? How can I be used?
Wanna be used by you. Wanna be used by you. So don't look me over. Waiting for your broken. I wanna be used by you. Wanna be used by you. So don't look me over. For your broken, I wanna be used by you. Wanna be used by you. Don't look me over. Waiting for your broken. I wanna be used by you. Wanna be used by you. So don't look me over. Waiting for your broken. I wanna be used by you.
Come on, how many of you, is that your testimony? Don't raise your hands. You feel that's your testimony, say, I feel broken. I feel defeated. God, I still want to be used by you. I know you can take my brokenness and you can repair all things. You can bring wholeness and you can use that brokenness for your glory. Lord, I want to be used by you.
I want to be used by you. So don't look. Don't look me over as I'm waiting for you broken. I wanna be used by.